the apostate church and end time society, which we're right in the middle of, and is getting darker by the day, as you can see, and the pace is accelerating. It's faster now than it was a year ago, and it's becoming very obvious that we're close to the end. So I'm looking at the church and what the so-called Church of England is doing, and it would be a very good idea. This is obviously being recorded by Trish, so if you can get copies of this DVD and get them out to anyone you know who's in the Church of England, because they should come out of it, because it's a rotten church, it's rotten from top to bottom. There are good people in the Church of England, there are believers in the Church of England, but they don't lead it and they're not setting the pace. They're doing their best to hold the tide of evil back, but you'll see what they're doing. Some of you may have seen this, some of you may find it quite shocking, because we are in difficult times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's here. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. They're also turning aside to foolish entertainment, as you will see. This is from Sky News. Helter skelters and mini golf. This is what Sky asks. What should our church buildings be doing in 2019? They're just looking at what's happening and reporting on it. And it's almost so stupid you couldn't make it up. Here is the very Reverend Andrew Bryant. He says, churches should be places of laughter too. As well as what, I wonder, what else do they do? As a canon pastor in a cathedral, he should certainly be fired. Much of my work is solemn and heartbreaking. But it's important to celebrate. We were made for fun and laughter as well. There we are. Now here he is. This is the Dean of Norwich. He's sliding down the 40-foot helter-skelter to show what fun you can have in a cathedral. And he said, at the top you get the most amazing view of our fabulous cathedral. And you're closer to the roof, closer to the God, I suppose they think, and closer to the roof bosses. I have no idea what a boss is. I worked for a few, but they weren't stuck in roofs. They probably should have been, but that's another story. Roof bosses than probably anyone has been since they were made. Well, there we are. That's good then. That's quite religious, isn't it? So that's all right then, is it? The Reverend Canon Andrew Bryant tells Skye why his cathedral put up a helter-skelter. Well, it's easier than preaching the word, I suppose, in the Church of England. I can understand why some people may be a little bit surprised to see a helter-skelter in a cathedral, but it is a deliberately playful idea with a serious purpose. To get up close to what is one of the greatest collections, as Sky said, medical, I think they mean medieval, the reporters today, you know, roof bosses in Northern Europe. And those bosses tell the story of the Bible, and by using this technique, we are helping people to engage with that incredible story, the story of the Bible. So if we could have a mini helter-skelter at the back, it would help them to learn the word, obviously, really. Or you can go to another cathedral and play some crazy golf, with the accent on the crazy. Installing a mini golf course in Rochester Cathedral and helter-skelter in Norwich Cathedral has, says Sky News, sparked a debate about the sanctity of churches. While many are excited by the new ways of attracting people, others label them ill-judged and mistakes. Surely not, surely not. Here, in case you think I'm making any of this up, here it is. I put time for teas at Rochester Cathedral. You can go and have some crazy golf there, see? It's probably a better use than what they normally put it to, actually, or about as much use. Today, as I was doing yet more research and nothing to do with this presentation, I saw that a church in America has now got a psychic on the staff. And when it was pointed out that this is not a biblical thing to do, she said, well, all good gifts come from God and I have a good gift, so I should use it. You see, well, you can actually encompass all kinds of nonsense by using that argument so that they can actually have a reading as they go into church and a commune with the dead, you see. But they don't, of course, they're communing with evil spirits. I was a spiritualist, by the way, so I know exactly what they're doing. Time for teas. Ah, Peterborough Cathedral has gone further into the surreal. They're having a Gaia event led by a priestess. And this is what they say on their website. Peterborough Cathedral. Using the ancient traditions of yoga, of course that's in every church all as it is, and that of course is New Age nonsense and wrong in every way, it's a cult. This session will harness our correctedness, our connectedness with the natural world and link to the Gaia Earth artwork suspended above. This promises to be a unique, let's hope so, and memorable experience led by priest and creative yoga practitioner Helena Del Pino. So why don't you like to come and speak here? You know, we got some creative earth worship. Oh, it's unbelievable. Gaia, of course, is what they're all heading towards. And here they are, awe and wonder, creative yoga. The next session is sold out this August. You settle down under the turning earth to experience this imaginative and meditative yoga session. There they are, awe. And that's meant to symbolize Gaia, you see, and the earth is turning, a huge earth above them, in the cathedral. All this seeker-friendly stuff, and jumping up and down and clapping and shrieking, it doesn't seem to be working, does it? Church attendances are falling in a lot of Church of England churches, and about 30 shut down every year, closed for regular public worship, according to Wikipedia. In fact, ever since they started the Alpha course, their actual communicants have dropped sharply, so that's quite interesting. It doesn't even work in the way they say it does, by bringing people in. They don't stay. A time will come, said Charles Spurgeon, when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. We're there. Faith foundations are under attack. There's been a great falling away from the fundamental truths of Christianity. And the very word fundamental now has got a bad reputation, when all it means, when applied to hopefully everyone here, Christians who believe the fundamental truths of the Bible. Many bishops and ministers deny the most fundamental truths of our faith, like the virgin birth, the atoning death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And a counterfeit Christianity has much of the church in its grip today. That's why we should look very closely when someone says, oh, our church is really thriving. What are they doing exactly? We've got to be Bereans. Because people today, especially those with the saintly garb and the dog collars, a lot of them, have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such people, we're told to turn away. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 to 15. This is the church of the end times, when there is a great falling away. And this is obviously what's happening now, a great falling away as never before seen in previous hundreds of years. And this is what Charles Finney said. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, you can say that again, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, as they are, the pulpit is responsible for it. Don't forget, Mrs. May was a vicar's daughter, so she was obviously taught the Bible well, wasn't she, or not? She was the Home Secretary who brought in the transgender teaching to little children, by the way. That's in Israel as well. And I must tell you that people can stand up against this kind of thing. Here's one who does. Dr. Gavin Ashenden, he's a former chaplain to the Queen and he's now a missionary bishop. He's one of the good guys in the Church of England. He explains why he feels differently to all this stuff that's going on. He said, I think the Church of England is asking the wrong question and getting the wrong answer. The wrong question is, how do we get people into our churches? And that is the question, I love this, a failing retail store might ask. It's the wrong question. As there's no evidence that people who come into churches find Christ that way. If you divert and entertain them, it's easy, isn't it? It's easy believism. Then an encounter with God becomes less likely. They just go there for the crazy golf and go out again, have a cup of tea maybe. But there is not necessarily the same spirit in some jails as that man displayed. Because Dave Regan emailed us this week something that Pat wrote. It's just got his magazine censored in the jails of Arkansas, believe it or not. And this is happening all the time right now. He said, Pat, well, you've finally done it for us. You've caused us to encounter our first experience with censorship. Seriously, he said, a A couple of days ago, we received a letter from an inmate in an Arkansas prison informing us that the last issue of our magazine, that's Lamplighter, Dave Regan's magazine, was banned because of your article about gender. You see, it's now becoming a hate crime to question people's questioning about their identity and changing their sex. You're not supposed to question it. We can, though. This is how Pat questioned it. She drew, displayed her art prowess, you see, and here's a girl, here's a boy, and they clearly have genes that are quite different. It points out that the sexes are different, and her article about this has been censored in the jail. And this is the censorship letter that was emailed to me this week, Lamplighter, July-August volume. Section 4, subsection 13 is always very officious, isn't it? This includes material that incites, encourages, advocates or promotes racism or other illegal discrimination. And this is a battle going on right now. Please pray for success in this, because a lot of these magazines go out into the prison system of America. They are trying to ban it. Once it gets banned someplace, it'll be banned everywhere. Prisoners get saved by reading this in their cells. Dave is fighting it and said, "We do not intend to take this ridiculous decision lying down. I filed a protest with the warden, pointing out to him that your article simply expresses what the Bible teaches. And then if your article is going to be banned, then they should take the next step and ban the Bible, something they are not willing to do, at least not at this point in time. Of course, it is full of hate crime in their eyes. If the warden upholds the decision, I will then file a protest with the overall director of the Arkansas prison system. If that fails, I will engage a law firm to file suit against the Arkansas Correctional Department. Pray for us to be successful with these protests. Considering the societal climate of our nation and its increasing hatred of all things Christian, I expect us to encounter more and more censorship like this in the future." What is happening here all the time? But this is not hate speech. This is the word of God. And it should be our handbook for life and the society we live in, their handbook too. But because much of the church likes entertainment, the word is sidelined in many denominations. And there are consequences. Here's the article that was so deeply offensive. Sex change, please, you can print it out and distribute it because it's on our website. "Not unless you change every cell in your body." And science hasn't worked out how to do that yet. She said, "As a mother, I've discovered something few people seem to know today. My baby boy," he's 41 now, "grew up to be a man, and my baby girl grew up to be a woman. When I looked into the science behind this, I found that every baby boy is born with an XY gene. It's the Y that makes him male. This is basic science. It's unchangeable. It can't be censored away. Every baby girl is born with a XX gene. This makes her female. That's not too hard, is it? Even the prison wardens should be able to understand it. Those genes happen to be in virtually every cell of their bodies, through and through, from the hair on their heads to the toes on their feet. They're either XY boy or XX girl. However many dresses the hairy men put on doesn't make them a woman." Did you know a doctor was fired for refusing to address a great big hairy man as sort of Priscilla or something? And he was fired for hate crime. That happened recently, by the way. This sexual deviation is suddenly everywhere and it's suddenly normal. That's what we're supposed to accept. Well, Daniel 11, verse 37 gives a clue as to why this may be happening. I may not be right, but I suspect there's something like this behind it. He says that once Antichrist rises to world power, he will do what he wants for the pleasure of himself and his master, Satan. The pleasure does not include a desire for women. Verse 37, "He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all." A literal interpretation likely means he's a homosexual. Such behavior would be against the natural order and laws of God. And I think this could explain what's happening in our schools and in the world at large today. Because the number of lesbian, gay and bisexuals in the UK is now over 1 million for the first time since records began. It's now probably even more than this, about 1.25 million. But this is the number of people who identified as being gay or lesbian or bisexual. It's up 11.4% on a year, the biggest increase since records began. That's the Office of National Statistics. And of course, stores like Sainsbury's go along with all this rubbish, and they're very proud to actually promote perversion. And I called it Pervert Pride Month. And we have avoided shopping there while that was going on because we didn't want to walk past these signs in support of what they're promoting. This was in Fleet I took these pictures. They're very proud to support the LGBT plus community. I don't know what the plus means, goodness only knows. That's Sainsbury's large poster at Fleet's busiest junction. Thousands of people a day went by this and drove and saw it. We're proud. Oh, really? Well, I've suggested to them this week that they should have a normal marriage month. I wrote to the chairman and top directors and sent up the letter this week, actually. And I said to everyone here, we can all challenge this. We don't just have to lie down and accept it. We can challenge it. We're allowed to. And even one of our grandchildren, who was 7 years old at the time, she had a teacher in school in Israel who was talking about transsexuality and so on and perversion, you see, and changing sex. And she said it 9 times. And this little girl, Mimi Jemima, challenged it. She was brave. And she's quite on the ball too. And made a protest and nothing happened. So she went into the school with her parents. And they asked to see the headmistress. And they brought the teacher in. And the teacher said, I didn't say anything like that. And Mimi said, yes, you did. You said it 8 times. And she pressed the point home. And the teacher was just struck dumb. And Mimi said to us, I shut her mouth. So you can make a protest. And sometimes it's quite effective. And I wrote to Martin Skilkuna, or whatever his name is, who's the chairman of Sainsbury's. And I said, our family have been regular Sainsbury's shoppers for many years. We actually like the store. We ceased to make you our main store of choice when you came out as promoters of perversion, which is what all the sexual deviations promoted by the wrongly used rainbow symbol really are. It's a flow of twisted propaganda. I said, you and your fellow directors mistakenly thought this would make you seem trendy, caring, going with the flow of pervert propaganda, which is well-funded and cleverly used. This thing doesn't just spring out of thin air. There's a lot of money behind it, a lot of organization behind it. That doesn't make it right, nor does it help you in your main job, I'm pointing out, making Sainsbury's the store of choice for the 99% of normal people in this country. Your job is to sell merchandise, not engage in controversial propaganda for perversion. So where are the boundaries? What next? I said, how about a sign saying, we support traditional marriage? Surely that's not too controversial for you? Even children were shocked, and our grandchildren were actually, at your posters. We were with them when they noticed them. We've spoken about this to friends and contacts, some of you, and not one thinks your promotion of filth is acceptable. Some are switching to shopping elsewhere. We now make Morrison's our store of choice and use Sainsbury's only when it suits us. What next? Where are your boundaries? We're going to have paedophile month? If your judgment is not truth-based, then it is wrong, and it's not scientific for a start. Then I sent him Pat's article, complete with artwork. But not wanting to be left out, of course, they go with the worldly flow of filth and sewage. Some churches use this logo in, and I quote, I didn't even know what all this means, LGBTQ-friendly parishes. Anyway, that's what they said. This went out to churches across the country. There it is. And misuse of the rainbow, if ever there was one. This was the parish of Badshot, Lee and Hale, only a few miles away from here, 2 or 3 miles. And their caption said, inclusion, the parish of Badshot, Lee and Hale. And there it is, right across from the pulpit. They're very inclusive. It's a rubbish church, actually. I went there, the only time I've ever been there in recent years was when a dear friend of mine, a school friend, died, you see. His name was Norman. He was only 65. And he was a supporter of Manchester United, you see. We all have our failings. And do you know what they did when we walked in? They were playing Glory, Glory, Man United. Not, you know, not glory, glory to the Lord, you know. And the female priestess, so-called, it's not given to a woman to preach and teach men, by the way, she was actually taking the service and said all kinds of stupid, idiotic things. She asked us what to say, actually, but she took, you know, one or two aspects from his life. She'd never known him. He'd never been there, I should think. So that was Norman's funeral in this horrible place. Don't go there. Don't go to any Church of England church unless it's to set them straight. This is from the Church Times, their newspaper. You'd expect a lot of wisdom from them, wouldn't you? The Church of England is to provide support for its schools, and they've got hundreds of schools, maybe thousands for all I know, to help them deliver new relationship education. That's a watchword, required by the government by next year, thank you, Mrs. May, including teaching on LGBT relationships and families. The new government guidelines or guidance on relationship and sex education for primary age children, little children, comes into force in September 2020. Although some schools are beginning it earlier, they can't wait, can they? More Church Times news. The church, as you might imagine, has broadly welcomed the new government guidance. The Church of England, it's more like England's disgrace. The church's lead bishop for education, the Bishop of Ely, the Right Reverend Stephen Conway, said the new guidance is about promoting healthy, resilient relationships set in the context of character and virtue development, with a focus on respecting others, including the beliefs and practices of people with a specific faith commitment, as well as those from the many different types of families. You see, they're casting their net very wide, getting all the rotten fish in as well, that make up our cultural context, different types of families. They've invented a new sort of family, the Church of England, you see. They're all being christened and baptized, of course. Ready for life in modern Britain. Well, about 70 schools, that's not really very many, have so far received letters from parents protesting about the government's plans for relationship education. Many are threatening to withdraw their children from school. The National Secretary of the National Association of Head Teachers, Rob Kelsall, called on politicians and faith leaders to work with schools to ensure all of our children receive an education that equips them for life in modern Britain. Well, modern Britain, probably not a place we want to live, actually. Hopefully we won't for too long. There is no opt-out from relationship education. The government's guidance allows parents to choose an opt-out from sex education lessons, but not from relationships, so they get you every which way, you see. Well, this is not about sex, it's about loving relationships, you see. One lady with biblical views, she sees there are people who make a stand, had her say on Panorama, and her name is Judith Nemeth from the newly formed Values Foundation, in which she said, there is no way that people of faith will teach it's okay to be gay. They won't, because the Bible tells us it isn't okay to be gay. I wouldn't use the word gay either. I'd use homosexual. Very precise. They're not gay in the least. They're miserable, most of them. But she stood up and said that. And people of faith, that's all very wide-ranging. It can mean almost anything, unfortunately. But she had her say. And it offended some so-called Christians. It's a very offensive thing to say what the Bible says, you see. They couldn't take it, the Church Times reported. Her comments provoked strong criticism from some Christians on Twitter, with many using the hashtag not in my name to distance themselves from her comments. A Shialogian, I love to call him Shia, the Reverend Bonnie, was more inclusive yet incensed. You see, some people are not to have this love. Anyone who disagrees with the Reverend Bonnie, presumably. She's the, as you would expect, of course, the interfaith advisor for the Diocese of St. Albans, the Reverend Bonnie Evans Hills. She said the program's coverage had lacked balance. She wrote on Twitter that Mrs. comment was simply not true. Many of all faiths and none believe differently. I was incensed, says Bonnie, that someone was speaking on behalf of all people of faith. She has the right to express her views, not for much longer, she hopes, but not on behalf of all Christians or all people of faith. Well, let's see what the Lord says. We're not interested in the stupidity of the Reverend Bonnie. Let's see what the Lord said in Leviticus. And there's a lot more about immoral behavior, but this is just a little bit I picked out. Leviticus chapter 18, starting at verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It's an abomination. This is what the Bible says. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. They would have been killed, actually. Thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourself. These are strong words with them. I am the Lord your God. Good is evil now, and evil is called good. And the Bible says that this will come about. Evil will be called good and good evil in Isaiah 5, verse 20. We are there. We pretend to care about children, but murder tens of millions of them. There is no longer any official right or wrong. It's just a matter of opinion. God's word, though, tells us this means I'm coming soon. These are the signs of the end of the end times, I believe, because we are recreating Sodom and Gomorrah. There are penalties for perversion, but few are listening to the voice of Almighty God. Politicians and many clergymen, not all, refuse to take heed, while pride celebrations are suddenly the new normal in shops, offices and schools promoted by the government. This is what a wise old policeman said at his retirement party. When I joined the police, homosexuality was illegal. It then became legalized. It's now actively encouraged, and I'm glad that I'm leaving now before it becomes compulsory. I thought he wouldn't have dared say that. He wouldn't have dared say that in Hampshire, because they're very pervert friendly in Hampshire. They go mincing along in gay pride parades and things. Oh, it's almost beyond belief. We met the chief. We met the chief constable. I won't even go into that. And never mind. She was a young woman, but there we go. Unbelief has its consequences. There's a price to pay for all this. This society is paying it as it falls apart, actually. Romans 1, verse 18. For even though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over. Okay, if that's what you want, do it. But there are consequences. Gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. We were watching a program about Donald Trump, and he had a nasty, evil little solicitor called Cohn, I think his name was. And he was a homosexual, and he had a miserable, rotten death at the age of 59, I think, because he died of AIDS. So there is a penalty, or there are consequences for impurity. Given over to degrading passions. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's why you've got animal rights. It's nonsense. They'll be given voting rights soon. They'll probably elect Corbyn. I mean, it's actually ridiculous. Of course they haven't got rights. We should treat them well, but they haven't got rights as such. I mean, we are now putting more emphasis on greenery and animals than we are on children. Yeah. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural order, natural function, for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. What's in that that the Reverend Bonnie can't understand? It seems very clear to me. But Luke 17, verse 26, we are as it was in the days of Noah. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man, when the Lord is coming back. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, even though it might be between two men, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They needed to be wiped out. We're getting to that state, actually. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Most of this earth is shortly going to be destroyed. Saving tin cans and recycling is not going to save it. Only the coming of the Lord is going to save it. But there's a lot of mayhem and misery coming, but we have brought it on ourselves as a nation and as a society. It's the same as it was in the days of Noah. Evil will come in, I would say has come in, like a flood. Isaiah 59, 19, 20. And Daniel 9:26 imply that evil will come in like a flood before our Lord returns. The wise, hopefully those of us here and others, will understand what is going on, but the wicked will not understand, says Daniel. People who do not believe his coming is near will be mockers. And there's a lot of mockers out there. The moral and spiritual destruction of our nations is accelerating. Our job, Ezekiel 33, is to be watchmen on the wall. The watchmen on the wall. Whatever is preached, only the gospel saves. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes, from Romans 1:16. Today, as you've seen a little bit of today, and there's a ton more evidence of the way it's going, most preachers have a watered-down gospel that they think is user-friendly, non-judgmental, and in tune with today's society. They're probably right in some way. That is the problem, though, bringing the world into the church. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Judge not. This is the atheist's favorite Bible verse, you see. Oh, you mustn't judge. Matthew 7, 1. But it's perhaps the most popular Bible verse, and it tells us not to judge lest we be judged. And it's used all the time against us if we question things that are wrong, like perversion and all sin. Christians are then called hypocrites when we do judge right and wrong, really. But we are to judge. There's nothing wrong with judging the biblical teachings of anyone. We're exhorted to do so. 1 John 4, 1 and Galatians 1, 8 and 9, we're told, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Paul commended the brethren in Berea, the noble Bereans, for testing his teachings by the word from Acts 17. We are to judge. But the church is trying to be loved by the world. Ordaining homosexuals, no problem. Women preaching, well, we must have equality, must we? Mixed up sexuality, we must be tolerant of everything. They're very intolerant when it comes to the word of God. Here's another outrage, but it will get worse. When God is a she, now in the Bible, this is the way it's going with the sheologians, you see. The only person I know who wrote a really bad review of our book, Cults and Isms, was the Reverend Judy something or other, a sheologian. And I looked up all the stuff she was preaching in that and say no more. In the Bible, God is always referred to as Father. The mixing of gender is deliberate, and in the spirit of witchcraft, as is feminism, women priests, etc. One aim is to convince people there is no difference between the sexes. Homosexuality is normal, and so on. As I've read, this is not what God says. Here's the mother and child from Babylon left and India right. This is a theme that's gone down through history, the false gods. Female deities, strong women. Goddess worship and Mother Earth ideas are behind the feminization of church and society. The goddess religion has an original positive affirming religion of female deity. And a returning goddess, who is meant to replace God the Father, according to her devotees, is an essential step towards curing the social and environmental, that's the key word, ills of our times. Gaia worshippers are focused on destroying what they believe is the evil of patriarchy. Men must be overthrown, cast down, relegated to a status far below that of women. Only when men become subservient to women will the earth begin to heal, and human relations across the earth return to what they once were in the imagined utopian past when the goddess reigned. Quite interesting, I watched all this happening. I work with loads of women all the time. We got on very well. There were no problems and people were not discriminated against. They were promoted on merit. I'm all for it, you know. But it's being taken so far that on new TV presenters are almost always female, I've noticed, on the programs I watch, which are on CNBC. It's almost entirely sort of female now, and women interviewing women and so on. And I might have told you this, but it was quite funny. The one female executive who broke through the glass ceiling somewhere or other, she was saying, we need more women in powerful positions. She was running one of the biggest companies in the world, an insurance company, not enough apparently. She was saying about promotion of women and the glass ceiling. And there was a male present who dared to ask her a question. I think it was quite funny. He said, what percentage of your workforce is female? And she said, 57%. I thought, what do you want to make it? 97%, you know. I mean, there's a limit to this. It's got to be kept in reason and rationality. Here's someone. What sex is this creature? The Reverend Peter Evans. And he's an associate pastor at a Brighton church. He's a non-binary, I don't even know what this means, a non-binary transgender as their associate pastor. There he is with his little doggy, you see. He, she, or it, the associate pastor of a church preaching in Brighton. Satan, you see, is deceiving people. He's destroying all these people. They're going to be with him soon. His tactics now are the same as they were in the Garden of Eden, deception. When he asked Eve, did God really say? God really didn't mean that, you know. Satan is a masterful deceiver. Scripture calls him the father of lies. He uses God's word to lie to us. Judge not. Many churchgoers are not well versed and easily swayed and confused. God did not mean we should never make judgments. He gave us intellects and sound minds and the ability to discern the gospel truth. Satan knows his time is short and he aims to take as many as possible with him. On the sign on the bus says, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And you can see who's driving. This is the very end of their lives. But I went to church with the nice windows, the nice stained glass windows, at least twice a year. I'm a good person. We saw a murderess say that, didn't we? On TV last night. She was actually plotting to murder her husband's wife, her boyfriend's wife, that was it. She was plotting to murder her love rival. And they caught her and she was sobbing and feeling very sorry for herself. This was an actual film of her in the interview room. She said, but I'm a good person. Oh, give me a break. You're trying to murder someone. Anyway, I won't be in hell then. She thought, I'm a good person, really. People on earth hate to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it one more time. One more time. They got one last chance the day they die. Don't count on your opinion of yourself. I'm talking about me here. I haven't got a very high opinion of myself, fortunately, but, you know, we think, well, we're goodish, maybe. Many churchgoers have a false sense of security, leading them to believe they are saved and heaven-bound, when in fact they are lost and on their way to hell. Our Lord himself remarked about all these lost souls who actually believe they are serving God. That includes a lot of preachers, because we choose our destiny. The history of Israel reflects four key points. The first, we can know right from wrong and choose which to do. The second, making wrong choices, committing evil, corruption, sin. That's what causes people and nations to fall out of God's grace. Remember, the Israelites were blessed on those occasions when they did right and punished when they turned to Baal and other idols. Three, God forgives and gives us second chances. Many times the Lord forgave the Israelites and gave them new chances. Four, history repeats itself. Although nations can prevent the cycle, Scripture is filled with the downfall of nations that repeated their mistakes. They repeated their error. And there's a time when judgment comes. Here's a final warning. Our door to the internet is gradually closing as non-politically correct comments are banned, are marginalized. They're passed down the rankings. They've got ways of doing this. I read about this quite a bit. This means time is probably short, which is both good and bad news, depending on your final destination. Let's end with some good news. Although we live now in times like those of the days of Noah, we are never to despair. The 32nd Psalm says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We know the end of the story. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. The signs of the second advent are all around us as never before in history. Time is short and my time is up. So don't forget, if you can, if you wish, get a copy of this DVD and pass it around and give it to the cheap people who are still gratting along to the Church of England because the stained glass windows are so nice. I think I told you this, but a funny, ridiculous thing. I was actually speaking at a large church in Tennessee. And it was being televised live across southern states of America, you see. And I wasn't even supposed to be talking about this. I started raving on about stained glass windows, you see. And Pat was sitting in the seats going, And when I stepped away, I was standing in front of an 80-foot stained glass window. I hadn't even noticed it. It wasn't a terrible one, but it was a stained glass window. Some stained glass is nice. It's just when they have little angels and cherubs on it, I don't like it, and other things as well. So there we go.